So we started this series a few weeks ago on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're asking questions like this. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Excuse me, how do we use them today? Whether in an environment where the Holy Spirit is welcomed or one where the Holy Spirit is not welcome, I find that many of us are confused as to what the Holy Spirit can do through us. Is the Holy Spirit a one-off thing, or something that just happens once in my life and then I don't really know about it? Is the Holy Spirit in me daily? Does the Holy Spirit work through me daily? All these different questions. Often, the truth is, the Holy Spirit is used as something like a vending machine where we push a button, we get what we want, and then we walk away. But that's not the way he's supposed to be used. You see, we only often come to the Holy Spirit with a need. We get what we want, and then we go off, not coming back to him for a while or even a long time. So I want us to pay close attention to the message title here. I know I've said this a few times, but I just want to review. Some of us have lost our way. The message title is Lost and Found. Some of us have lost our way when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Maybe we've given up. You've heard lots of teachings on the Holy Spirit. Actually, maybe you haven't heard any teachings on the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's been your situation. But whatever it is, the teachings just don't seem to resonate with you. You've lost your way when it comes to the spiritual gifts and how Holy Spirit can use us. I said, I think a few weeks ago, that I've lost my way in years gone by with the Holy Spirit and not understood where I fit in with the Holy Spirit and his gifts. For some, you may have never found the Holy Spirit and his desire to use you to bring heaven to earth. Jesus tells the disciples in Acts 1 verse 5 of a second filling. It says, first off, it says Jesus was baptized in water by John. That's in Mark 1, 9. And then in Acts 1, 5, Jesus says, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Those are the words of Christ. So some today need to ask that the Holy Spirit would fill them anew for the first time or for another time. I'm a big believer in, I want to be doused with the Holy Spirit all the time. It's like, you know, when you live, we got some people that live at the lake. When you live at the lake, you got to go in the lake all the time. You probably don't. Actually, I've never seen Bridget in the lake. But the truth is, if you, man, I'm just like, you got to be in that lake all the time. That's the same thing with the Holy Spirit, is when we, if we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't want to just be filled once. I don't want to, Arlene and I were in a youth group, it was like you got filled with the Holy Spirit at like youth convention or a youth retreat or some place like that. I don't want that. Come on. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit every single day. When I walk around, I want people to be, what's wrong with that brother? He is filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what's wrong with him. That's what I want people to reflect on me, not in a crazy way, but just in a powerful way, all right? We'll leave it at that. Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to start in verse 4, and our main text is verse 10 of this scripture passage today, but we'll read the whole thing. So 1 Corinthians 12, here's verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, that's where we will rest today, to another the interpretation of those tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. If you're interested in what those other gifts of the Spirit mean for us today, just go on our website and you can watch the sermons from those, and I hope you enjoy them. This is part 4. There's 3 other ones, so you can, I did 2 a week for a while, all right? So that's how it worked. I have a little story for you here. It was so cold in Hamilton, Ontario, that this, how many people have ever been to Hamilton? All right, wow, that's impressive. Okay, I try not to go there. It's scary. All right. All the one-way streets, I'm not down with that. All right. Luckily, there's Google Maps these days. The first time, because when I first went there, I'm so old, there was no cell phones. All right. That's right. It was so cold in Hamilton, Ontario, that this took place. A girl named Linda, she was 9 years old, was on her way to school in, you can tell this was written by an American, sub-freezing weather. It's always sub-freezing in Canada, all right, and especially if it's cold, all right. Sub-freezing weather, when she decided to put her tongue on a metal cross outside a church. Now, I know people from Espanola would never do something like this, but raise your hand if you've ever witnessed someone, even in your younger days, put their tongue on metal in the middle of winter. Oh, okay, here we go. Some parents are calling people out. All right, I used to try to trick my brother into doing stuff like this because he would do it. And I'd be like, hey, that pole looks good over there. Oh, really? Okay, you know. So anyways, so she decided to put her tongue on a metal cross outside of church, which is interesting. We chose fences in Barrie, but in Hamilton they choose crosses. It's okay. A policeman had to warm the cross with towels soaked in warm water to release Linda. He was nice. He didn't just yank her away. Because, yeah, well, oh, boy, it hurts. Anyways, there's my little story for today. Today we conclude a series of messages that I hope have been fruitful for your spirits. Holy Spirit has a great plan for each one of our lives. Do you know that? That the Holy Spirit has a great plan for your life. It's the same plan that God has, but he wants to use you in a specific, in a fascinating way. I believe he wants us, he wants to fill us so that we overflow. I just said it earlier. I really just, with all my heart, believe that. You see, last week, men came forward for an extra filling of Holy Spirit. Did some of the men that came forward here last week, did they speak in tongues? Maybe. Did some feel a renewed sense of the Holy Spirit within their bodies? I hope so. What I know is the sense of the Holy Spirit at work in us, present in our midst. You see, each Sunday, I want us to grow deeper in our understanding and awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit. As maybe it's just because I'm aging so gracefully, I'm not sure. But as I get older and wiser in the things of, I don't know. But as I grow older, I just find that I'm more aware of the spirit realm around me. I'm not sure why. Maybe I'm just getting more chicken. I'm not sure. But I'm just more aware. When I go places, I can sense things stronger than ever before. When I meet someone for the first time, or if I meet someone that I haven't seen in a while, I can sense something about them that maybe they don't want to talk about. There was a pastor friend of mine that I've being up here, I'm around a bit more. And I just sense something about them sometimes when I'm with them that I never did years, many years ago. But I want us to grow in the awareness and the presence of the Holy Spirit, each one of us. You see, this is the mistake of the church over the years, is that in the Catholic Church, you would know if you've had any experience with the Catholic Church, that only the priests can do certain things. Right? I don't know what all those things are, but you know what they are. There's communion and prayers and different things. I remember I worked in a Lutheran church for 3 months before they kicked me out. And I remember one of the things I learned about the Lutheran church was that there's only certain things that the minister can do in the Lutheran church. I wasn't called a pastor. I was called, I don't know what I was called. I was called names by the end of it, but I forget. But anyways, the point being is that only the pastor could do certain things. You couldn't just, anyone couldn't do whatever they wanted. But in evangelical churches or especially in Pentecostal churches, that's not the case. We are all filled with the Holy Spirit. We all have the ability to preach and to proclaim the good news of Jesus. It's not up to the pastor, the old guy up on the stage, to do all that work. It's for the work of the saints, which is all of us. If you don't want to be a saint, you should come and talk to me after, because we can have a good conversation. But we are all saints and brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're to do the work together. And that's what I want to focus on when we come to the Holy Spirit. It's for all of us. I want all of us to be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want us to, listen to this, I want us to limit distractions and focus on the Lord Jesus when it comes to the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that when you set aside time for God, a whole pile of other things come up in your life, right? Like the water pump breaks, or you go outside and Arlene flattened the tire on the car, or you, that did happen, maybe you realize that you haven't cleaned your house in like 6 years. It's like, oh my goodness, now's the time. Or maybe you're like, where did these children come from that I gave birth to? I don't know. But there's distractions all around you. But for us today and moving forward, I want us to limit the distractions. I love to sit down especially on a rainy day and just watch a movie. Is anyone else like that? Like, just like, you're just like, you know, I don't want to do anything else right now. I just want to sit here and watch a movie. And Arlene makes fun of me because I don't watch new movies. I watch the same movies over and over and over again. And then, yeah, and I don't think there's anything wrong with this, but she says that I'm peculiar. But this is what I love to do. But here's the truth, is as much as I love to do that, I've realized that I do that enough. You know what I mean? Like, when I was a kid, we were allowed to watch a movie one time a week, all right? And now I watch movies, sometimes if I'm really lazy, once a day or twice a day. Or I remember one day I got through a whole series of movies in one day, and I realized there's something wrong with my life. I remember one day some of the kids in my first youth group, we watched all the Hobbit movies in time to see the third Hobbit movie in the movie theater. And after 10 hours of video in one day, I said, I think we had enough today. All right. So the truth is that as much as I love that stuff and things like Netflix are a huge distraction for me, like anyone else, but we cannot limit our time with Jesus. And all those things, as wonderful as they are and as fun as they are, they limit us. They are distractions when it comes to Jesus and the Holy Spirit working and living through us, visiting with us. I had a picture in my mind the other day, and I wrote a little note here. I'm not sure if it was a prophetic picture or what it was, but I had a picture come to my mind. This doesn't happen often, but as I was preparing for today's message, I felt like I needed to remove my shoes because the presence of the Lord was so strong in this place. Now think about that. That is not a common picture to have. That is not a common occurrence. But I think that if we spend enough time pursuing the Holy Spirit and His work in our lives, that's what is the overflow, that's what is the outcome of what happens, is that we would say, this ground is holy ground. Yes, it's a carpet, I get it. But like, this ground is holy ground. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has come to meet with us. And I pray that that's our prayer for our church. You see, the gifts of the Spirit, as we've been sharing over the last number of weeks, is exactly that. They are gifts. They are gifts. They are rich, rich gifts. I forgot to look for it this morning. I was going to bring it in. When I was a child, I got a really good baseball glove. Like a really good one. My dad really, he went out of his way and got me a really good one. And I remember I took that glove. My birthday's December 23rd, so when I get gifts for the summertime, I got to wait a little while, all right? And so I took that glove. I placed a baseball in it. I wrapped it with elastic around it. And I took care of that glove all winter long. All winter long, I took care of that glove. Once it was broken in, I would condition the leather so that it would last in top-notch condition as long as possible. That was my goal with this awesome gift that I received. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are the same thing. They are to be treasured by us. They are not to be taken willfully and just used whenever we feel like it. They're to be used for the glory of God, to bring power and witness to the mighty work of the Lord in our lives. In our last part of the series, we, of course, are going to focus today on the gifts of tongues and interpretation. In my life, there have been many late-night conversations about these gifts in particular, or the gift of tongues in particular, their purpose, how we use them. For some reason, and I don't know why, the gift of tongues brings much discussion and sometimes a lot of debate within the church, within the body of Christ. Speaking in tongues is central. I want you to remember this. Speaking in tongues is central to the Pentecostal experience. It certainly isn't something to shy away from, but in fact, look forward to with anticipation. When I say Pentecostal experience, it really just means speaking in tongues, speaking in the heavenly language that God would give us. That's the Pentecostal experience. That's the root of what our fellowship believes. There's the definition of tongues. I have one for you here today. It says this: the gift of tongues is a personal language of prayer given by God, whereby the believer can communicate with God beyond the limits of knowledge and understanding. Beyond the limits of knowledge and understanding. That is the gift of tongues. Wow, what a gift. What a powerful work of the Holy Spirit. I have a short story here. One of my favorite stories about tongues that I've heard in my life was a friend of mine's parents were, I may have shared this before, but they were sitting near the back of the sanctuary at a prayer meeting in a church in Toronto. As the prayer meeting began, people were praying, and my friend's mother spoke Spanish fluently, and she could hear someone speaking Spanish in the service. Afterwards, she went up to the lady that was just in front of her that was speaking Spanish in that prayer meeting, and she said to the lady, do you know that you're speaking Spanish? Are you from a Spanish-speaking country? And the lady said, no, I wasn't speaking Spanish. I don't know how to speak Spanish. I've never spoken Spanish in my entire life. The lady speaking in Spanish, she had no idea. She just said she was speaking in tongues. That was the language that God had given her right there. Was the gift of was speaking in Spanish, even though she didn't know it. For us, when we consider the use of tongues, we can look at it as the use of language between two parties, where it's agreed that certain sounds represent certain objects. That's what speaking in tongues is. It's not something that's inaccurate or false or for the way back when with those crazy disciples. When we use the gift of tongues, we agree with God that as the Holy Spirit prays through us, though we may not understand what we are saying, God does. When I speak in tongues, I speak in tongues. I have no problem saying that. When I speak in tongues, I have no sweet clue what I'm saying, honestly. Sometimes I even wonder, what are you saying? I have no idea. But I just keep on going. And you want to know why I keep on going? Because I know that God knows what I'm saying. He knows what I'm saying. How can the gift of tongues be incorporated into my day-to-day life? So I've asked a few questions here for us. How can the gift of tongues be incorporated into my day-to-day life? First off, tongues have an important place in our devotional life. The gift of tongues can increase the power in your devotions. It really can. God always gives clarity of thought when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. When you begin to speak in tongues in your devotional time, the scriptures can come alive to you. The words that are being spoken to you can come alive in a new way. Paul urges the believer to be cautious in the zealousness with the gift of tongues. We read this in 1 Corinthians 14:23. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds? Yes, they would say that. There is a risk of that. That's why speaking in tongues is a part of our devotional life. It's so important. It's between us and God. It's not concerning other people. It's our personal prayer language between us and the Lord Jesus. A friend of mine said to me, and this is one of my points, I'm skipping ahead, but a friend of mine said to me a long time ago, and I forgot to look up the scripture, but I'll find it if I have to. And it says this, that tongues are words that we can't speak. It's when we don't have something left to say. God, I can't tell you how great you are. But the Holy Spirit speaking through me can say those words. How wonderful your majesty is, how powerful you are, of how great that you are to me. That's the gift of tongues at work in our lives. So how can the gift of tongues be used in the church? So we can use it in our personal prayer life. We can use it when we're at home or in the car driving to work or whatever it takes. It doesn't take long to drive to work around here. But if you live out of town, it may take a ways to get to work. How can the gift of tongues be used in the church? Oh, Pastor Jay. A lot of pastors don't talk about this stuff, so I don't know. You're getting some good stuff. That's all I know. How can the gift of tongues be used in the church? Tongues are practiced in the corporate life of the church. Tongues are practiced in the corporate life of the church. Tongues are to be minded carefully. We don't just speak in tongues just because we feel like it. That's one of the problems in the Pentecostal churches. Let me just launch out with this word of tongues. Really? Be careful. I'm not saying don't do it, but be wise. Use wisdom. Use discernment when it comes to giving a word in tongues. You see, here's the truth, church. Tongues, in the corporate sense, never come without an interpretation. Tongues never come without an interpretation. That's why if I was to speak in tongues in this service today, I wouldn't speak it so that everyone could hear it, because I don't believe it's to be interpreted. Those are just my part of my praise language to God. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 14:27. If any speak in a tongue, let there only be two or at most three, and each in turn. I've been in services where everyone wants to speak in tongues and people want to speak on top of each other. No, that grieves the Holy Spirit. That's not something to mess around with. That's not something to pride yourselves. Pastor, the whole church spoke in tongues. Really? The whole church did? Because the Bible just said only two, maybe three at most, and each in turn. And then it says, let someone interpret. Verse 28 says, but if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silence in church and speak to himself and to God. We must understand, when we think of tongues and its use in our corporate setting, we must think of the weight of the words that are being spoken. So here's a simple question. Pastor Jay, should we speak in tongues in church? Absolutely, I got no problem with it. Pastor Jay, if someone spoke out in tongues and there was an interpretation, would you be okay with it? Yeah, no problem. I love it. But we have to be careful. We can't just, I've been in so many environments where it's so willy-nilly. It's so just, we'll just throw it out there and see what happens. I've heard people say that. I just speak in tongues and see what happens. What? What, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? That's not what the scripture says. The gifts of tongues is critical to the church. It's so important to have the use of the gift of tongues in the church, but it must be carefully taken care of to be used properly and for the glory of God. If five people spoke in tongues today and there was no interpretation, that would not be for the glory of God. That would just be yelling. And I don't agree with yelling like that. Some people to this day believe that tongues died with the apostles. You'll hear a lot of people say that. I don't believe that to be the case. The Bible clearly says the gift of tongues is meant for an individual's communication with God. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 says, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, when the disciples spoke in tongues, they were not preaching to the crowd. They were praising God in tongues. The crowds in earshot of them that day heard the words and praise being spoken to God. What an amazing picture. The Holy Spirit came that day, and I've said it so many times and I'll say it for the rest of my life. The Holy Spirit came that day in power and witness to display his glory. You see, we must never diminish the gift of tongues in the body of Christ. The gift of tongues is part of our praise language with God. I want all the ways to express how good and how great the Lord Jesus is. Do you know that the English language only has so many words? There's only so many words we can use to describe God. A lot of times we look through the scriptures and there's many meanings for the word love, but because there's only one love in the English language, we just use one word, but there's many meanings in the Greek scriptures. I want to use all the words at my disposal to praise the Lord Jesus. They aren't meant to be used, tongues aren't meant to be used in common language to prove a point or an agenda we have. I've heard people speak in tongues and this is the word from the Lord, that the church would do this or that the pastor would do that. Come on. Are we recognizing what we're saying? The gift of tongues is not meant to be used to prove a point or an agenda that we have. Stop it. It's never happened here, so I'm just, if I'm upset, I'm thinking of other people. The tongues are used to glorify God. Can the gifts of tongues be abused? Yes. Yes. Should tongues be a part of our worship services? Like I said, absolutely. But under the standard of Scripture. I will not stand for things that aren't in the Bible. Tongues is an accompaniment with the Holy Spirit, not a tool to bring the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Tongues is an accompaniment with the Holy Spirit. It's not a tool to bring the Holy Spirit. We pray, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you fill us? Would you fill me so that I would speak in other tongues? Should everything stop if someone speaks in tongues in our gatherings? No. What tongues are spoken must be questioned. What are these tongues spoken? You see, like I said earlier, I speak in tongues all the time. They are a heavenly language between me and the Lord. He understands our deepest groanings. Like I said, the Scriptures teach us that tongues are used when our words are not enough. Have you ever not known what to say? Sometimes for me, hallelujah is not enough, like I said. You see, the gift of tongues is a gift to the body of Christ. We must never abuse this beautiful gift. So we've started today with the gift of tongues. And let's finish off with the interpretation of tongues. Jackie, would you help me out here? I forgot to warn you. But I know you're ready. The gift of the interpretation of tongues is this defined. This gift allows the gift of tongues to be of benefit for those other than the speaker, as they are able to hear and agree with the tongue speaker's words to God. Here's what we look for in a moment of interpretation. Is the interpretation of the tongues biblical? The interpretation should come in the English language, but is that interpretation biblical? Everything that is said on behalf of God or the Spirit of the Lord must be tested. You've heard me say to test the words that I speak against Scripture. If it's in the Bible, it's true. If it's not in the Bible, it's just words. It's just noise. Arlene and I grew up in a church where tongues was used. The same people gave a message in tongues, and the same two or three people gave the interpretation every Sunday. As I grew older, I grew concerned because the interpretation was the same every Sunday. And I would think, God, would you not say something new to this house? And that's my prayer for our church, is that as we explore the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not just tongues, but the full gamut of those gifts, that God, would you fill our house with praise? Would you fill this place with the presence of the Holy Spirit? And would your words fall afresh on your people each time? Is the interpretation consistent with what the Spirit of God is doing in the room? If there's a spirit of forgiveness in the room and someone brings a word of accusation, let me say, I don't know that that's from God. If there's a spirit of freedom in the room and then interpretation comes of judgment, I must say, I don't know that that's from God. It must fall in a line with what the Spirit of God is doing in the room. If it comes from left field, it is from left field. This, you see, church, you know this. The Spirit of God is not confusing. If the gift of interpretation isn't done orderly, we can argue it's not from God. That's from 1 Corinthians 14:27. You see, too many people have lost perspective when it comes to Holy Spirit because church leaders have been incapable of using the gifts of the Spirit properly. Excuse me. I had a Bible school teacher who didn't come from a Pentecostal or charismatic background or church. And in one of their church services one day, someone spoke out in tongues. Nobody knew what to do. It was in those days when they had all the pastors lined up on the stage. I can just see the pastors like, you know, looking at each other like, you say something. You know. No one would say anything. The pastors just began to stare at one another. Finally, one of the pastors got up. It's usually the youth pastor because they're the youngest and no one minds throwing them over the bus. Finally, one of the pastors got up. And this church believed in all the gifts of the Spirit. So the pastor said to the congregation, "Does anyone have an interpretation for this word?" The church and the pastors, they waited. They waited. They waited until it got really uncomfortable because no one was saying anything. After a while, nobody spoke. So the pastor said, "Well, since nobody has spoken, the Bible says that there must be an interpretation. So we'll move on and disregard the tongues that have been spoken." Wow. I don't know many places where this would happen. Maybe you've witnessed something like that. I know that someone hearing that story could take it the wrong way, maybe be upset with what I'm saying. I wasn't there in that service, so I won't comment on whether the right thing was done or not. What I will say is that we can never be scared to uphold the instructions of Scripture when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They just followed Scripture in that example. You see, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are these beautiful things that God has given to His church. I grew up in a state of fear when it came to spiritual gifts. I'm not sure if it was the people I was around, the church environment I was a part of. What I know is that I've seen God do mighty things in my life by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I've seen. 3 years ago, Leland broke his arm on the jungle gym at school. It was the first week of school in September. His arm was broken. It was like the bones were pointing opposite directions. It was broken. And the doctors were hoping that they could just adjust it so that it didn't have to surgically be repaired. Leland went around that week after he got the first cast on. He went around that week telling people that God was going to heal him. At the time, the children's pastor at the church we were at encouraged kids to speak like this. And I had no doubt that God could do it. I just didn't know if he would. So nearly a week after Leland broke his arm and a few days before we had to go back to the hospital for a checkup, I remember Leland woke up one morning in our house. He came running and proclaiming that he felt God physically heal him that night while sleeping. We went to the hospital and the bones were connected just as they should be. And he needed to be completely healed. His arm wasn't completely healed, but he didn't need surgery. He was going to be fine. No further work was needed, just another cast. Never presume that God won't do whatever you need. Never presume. I know it wasn't a life and death thing with Leland, but I'll always remember it. Church, I have family right now who are sick, and I don't know why they're sick, but they are. And I keep wondering, God, are you just trying to get our attention? Are you just trying to get our attention? You see, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, doubt and fear will cloud all good judgment and wise counsel. The gifts of the Spirit are the gateway for Christians around the world to see the Lord do miraculous things in our lives. That's what the gifts of the Spirit is. I have a list of miracles on my iPad here that the Lord has done in our congregation this year. There's people here that should have been dead a long time ago, but they're still here. There's people that have had disease that they've been cleared of. People have had financial breakthrough and sold things that they were praying to be sold for. When I sit and reflect and thank the Lord for His hand upon us, may we never lose faith in the goodness and power of the Holy Spirit. Today I want us to come to this altar. And I want us to ask forgiveness of the Holy Spirit for the doubt and fear that has come into our minds. I just had this sense last night that there is doubt and fear in our midst. And we must commit to the Lord Jesus that we will trust Him with everything that we have. We've been discussing some future plans at our board meetings. And we've been challenged lately with what God has in store for this house. In that challenge, God has awoken the spirit of faith in our conversations. One of our board members challenged us that we need to have greater trust and faith in the Lord Jesus to see His will accomplished for this house. I believe that the Lord Jesus has tremendous plans for this church and this house specifically. However, fear and doubt must bow down at the name of Jesus. As we come forward, I want us to pray against fear and doubt, that it would be removed from this place, and that the spirit of trust and faith would burst forth in this house. No more fear, no more darkness, no more what ifs, but full of trust and faith that the God that we worship can move any mountain in our life, can move any obstacle in our way. Oh God, that You would send Your Holy Spirit. God, that You would start a fire at this altar today, oh God. Holy Spirit, would You come? Would You come, oh Lord? We are nothing without You. Would You come to this place? So church, I need you today. I need you to come forward in a moment and to pray with me that we would choose trust and faith in the Lord Jesus. No more fear, no more doubt. That all must bow down at the feet of Jesus.